Happy New Year.
Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everybody? Good afternoon. We have a special, an extremely special edition of the Good Life Radio Show today. Episode number 17. We have a big-time show jam-packed in for 1 hour. First, as always, phone number 323-927-2966. On today's jam-packed show, we're going to talk about how LB and I went down to the Jersey Shore. He wasn't fist-pumping. We went down there to see Chris Herren. And, of course, he was recognized in Belmar by an older lady. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to talk about the Knicks, how that debacle yesterday. We're going to talk why the city of Las Vegas is up in arms with my boy LB, and how I'm running like a maniac, and I'm down 19.5 pounds, and I'm getting ready for beach season. Oh, and we're going to be interviewing my all-time favorite football player, hands down, the reason I wore number two, but more on that in a second. We're going to introduce the co-host of today. Obviously, everyone knows who it is. Let me give him his normal intro music, and here he is. Hold on. I don't know why he wanted that as a song, but L. Bizzle, what's going on, my brother?
What's happening? First of all, like everybody, all six people that listen to the show, I do not
86
pick the
right
music
now. Wait, I'll be 86 right now.
All 86 people, I'm sorry, I do not pick the music that's on. He just picks whatever, you know, he sees on YouTube for the day. What is the dealio?
LB, I appreciate you calling in. People are going to probably wonder, how is I getting a co-host on a Monday afternoon when the whole world works? Luckily enough, none of my friends work. I could have had you, Chuck, Justin, but I chose you. And as always, you come through and you hook me up with the show. You know what I'm excited about today? I'm giddy as fuck that I'm interviewing my man, Tim Couch. But I just took the cat out of the bag. But LB, why is Las Vegas up in arms with you, and why are they pissed at you?
Las Vegas isn't really happy with me these days because I'm taking my talents back south.
Wait, is this an announcement? Are you making an announcement?
I'm making an announcement. I am taking my talents back to New Orleans in the next 5 months. We will be there. And
when will we be there?
Like,
let everyone know the date.
October 25th to the 28th, we will be celebrating Halloween in the Bayou.
And get ready, Nolan.
Here we come.
Wait, something else is also that weekend.
Halloween.
Well, besides Halloween, what else is that week, LB?
Oh, I don't celebrate the host's birthday because I went to Texas on his birthday and he didn't show up, so he left me in Texas. So therefore, he does not have a birthday. It's like leap year every year for him because he doesn't have a birthday.
Listen, it's funny because I never celebrate my birthday because of the Yankees usually. Whenever the Yankees are in the World Series, that's what we do. LB, before the guest calls in, we don't know when he's going to call in. You know, these football players have their own schedule. We went down to the Jersey Shore. Thank God you didn't go into DJs. We had a long discussion about DJs and how I think it's the worst place on earth. You think it's the cathedral down the shore. We see Chris Herren speak. Just do me a favor, LB, while we were leaving, because I want to get into Chris Herren in a minute because I'm begging him to be on my show. What did the lady say to you? She's like, you look familiar. Describe what was happening when we walked out of the St. Rose.
So after Mike got one of the guy's numbers he was sitting next to for the umpteenth car and he's in male presence, one of the ladies when we were leaving asked me if I'm one of the guys that rent a house down in, you know, down the shore for the summer and to tell her what street so she could stay off of it for the whole summer, which I thought was an insult, but, you know, what? I'll let the old bag live.
Because here's what happened. We're walking down the steps. We hung out. We go see Chris Herren speak. And there was, LB, how many people, LB? Around 500, you say, in the gym?
Minimum 500.
You literally, it sounds so cliche, but you could have heard a pin drop.
It was silence.
His story was, listen, everyone knows his story. If you haven't seen his documentary, 30 for 30, Unguarded, it's fascinating. It's ridiculous. I just want to tell one story real quick because we're going to talk about Herren a lot later on. He's telling a story about how, listen, background is he's one of the best high school players ever, goes to Boston College, gets thrown off for drugs, goes to Fresno State, drafted by the Nuggets. He's on the Celtics. After 2 years, he's a free agent. the Dallas Mavericks offer him 3 years, $8 million to sign the contract with them. 3 years, $8 million. The bus was leaving at 1 o'clock. He couldn't meet up with his dealer until 2 o'clock. He told the Dallas Mavericks, no, thank you. He told the Mavericks and he turned down $8 million, and he said, just to get a few pills. It was, LB and I sat there listening to Chris Herron, and it was, we got to meet him afterwards. One of the nicest guys. But LB, everything goes on hold right now, LB. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
On the show, we've interviewed WNBA superstar Jen Dev, Bengals receiver Vidal Hazelton, Magic center Daniel Orton, Pro Bowl MVP Matt Schaub, and this is the most pumped, this is the truth, I've ever been for an interview in my life. We have many other guests lined up. We have Canty all the time, Royals third baseman Mike Moustakas lined up, but here we go. Before you were able to go online and just click two buttons and buy a jersey, my mother was on the phone with the Cleveland Browns when he got drafted to get me a jersey. I wore number 2, not because of Derek Jeter, but because of this man. My all-time favorite player, let's introduce to the Good Life Radio Show with Mike and Larry, former number 1 overall pick out of the University of Kentucky, Tim Couch. Tim, thank you for joining the show. What's going on, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing today? I'm glad to be part of your show.
Tim, it's an absolute honor for you to even be on the show with us. I appreciate you just taking a few minutes out of your time, and let's get right on with the interview. Tim, what I always do, I ask every athlete who appears on my show, because I'm always curious, when did you realize that football wasn't just a sport or a game to you anymore? It was going to be like your livelihood and a way to support your family. Was there one defining moment that you knew?
Probably so. You know, I kind of had a good idea back in high school, like my senior year of high school, you know, just going to all these camps in the summers and competing against quarterbacks from all around the country. And, you know, I was winning MVP awards of all these camps. And so I knew then that I had a pretty good chance. And then especially once I got to college, my sophomore year of college, and I started putting up some really big numbers, I knew that that I was on track to be, you know, obviously I'd never thought about being a number one pick, and all those things are just so far-fetched, and you really never think that that's actually going to happen. But I knew I was going to be an NFL-type player, and I had the talent to do it. And, you know, so it's probably somewhere around my sophomore year of college when I really had a good grasp on it that I would be an NFL guy.
All right, now, Tim, this is Larry. You're on the phone with Tim. Larry, you want to ask him that one question you were asking me before?
Hey, tonight, this is Mike's co-host, Larry. I have a question. I know you went to Kentucky. You were, you know, Mr. High School there. What made you choose going to Kentucky, really not known as a football school, more of a basketball school? Mm-hmm. And I know you did your thing, I think it was, what, 97 when you beat Alabama, you beat LSU on the road. I mean, besides that year, what made you go to Kentucky?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of a long answer, but you know, I grew up, you know, close to Knoxville, Tennessee, also in eastern Kentucky, and you know, so I grew up a big Tennessee football fan and a Kentucky basketball fan. So you know, when I started getting recruited heavily, you know, I was getting recruited in both sports, and you know, I really wanted to play football at Tennessee. And my dad was the biggest Kentucky fan of all time, and he couldn't stand to see me play for Tennessee. I mean, it was killing him that I was even looking at Tennessee. And, you know, I actually verbally committed to Tennessee early on in the recruiting process and was going to go there. And, you know, I would have been a couple years behind Peyton Manning and would have been, you know, his understudy and taken over after he left. But, you know, it ended up where you know, Kentucky came in and they were really, really recruiting me hard, and they were telling me I could play both sports, and that's something that I also wanted to do. I wanted to play football and basketball in college, and, you know, because I wasn't sure at the time which way I wanted to go, because I was still more of I considered myself more of a basketball guy than a football guy at the time. And so I wanted to kind of make that decision once I got to college, and so Kentucky kind of gave me that opportunity. And but once I got there, got to the school, I understood how hard it was. I didn't understand how hard it was that it's going to be to make the grades, to make football practice, film study, you know, extra time in the weight room, those type of things, and play basketball. So I had to make a decision one way or the other, and ended up choosing football, and it worked out for me.
Now, Tim, that actually leads me to my next two questions. I don't know if many people know this. LB, I don't know if you know this either. ESPN listed you as the 6th greatest high school athlete ever. Tiger Woods was number 2, LeBron James number 3, Lou Alcindor was number 4. Wait, did you ever, like, think of, because that was my next question, you answered it, but forget about football, why didn't you play basketball for UK? Why didn't you wear number 2? Like, did you want football more? Because did you have more of an opportunity playing for Kentucky, a basketball school? Wouldn't you have maybe right to the league right after that?
You know, I don't know. I just the Kentucky was so good at the time. You know, it was I was there from '96 to '98, and there was, you know, I think 9 or 10 guys off that team ended up making it to the NBA. I mean, it was Antoine Walker, Derek Anderson, Ron Mercer,
Tony Delk.
Jeff Shepard, Tony Delk. I mean, so many guys. So, you know, I didn't think I could do both sports and actually get a lot of playing time in basketball. You know, I'd have probably been a guy, you know, maybe come off the bench every now and then and, you know, shoot some threes, those type of things. But, you know, I just really felt that that football would give me a better opportunity to get to the next level. And I made the right decision.
Okay, now I'm the biggest Kentucky fan. LB can attest to that. It happened in 92. I was 10 or 11 years old. And as a joke, everyone's rooting for Duke. So just being an asshole, I started rooting for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christian late in the game, devastated me. Since that day, I order Kentucky newspapers. I listen to every game on the radio. I'm going to New Orleans this year for the Final Four, probably by myself, just to watch them. Describe the atmosphere, because you were there in 96 when they beat Syracuse,
mm-hmm.
97 they lose to Arizona in overtime, and 98
right.
they beat Utah. Describe the atmosphere down there with Big Blue Nation for basketball and while they won the championship. Was it just out of control?
It was amazing. You know, it really was. And like you said, I was there for, you know, 3 consecutive championship games in a row. And, you know, just the town was just going crazy. And after the 2 wins, you know, I can remember just being on campus. The streets would shut down. All the students would be out in the streets just partying and having a blast. And just such a really good time for Kentucky basketball. But, you know, they've had so many good teams and good players here. And, you know, just being in Rupp Arena, no matter if the team's good or bad, if they're number one in the country or they're not even ranked, it's still an unbelievable atmosphere. The fans and the passion they have for Kentucky basketball is just it's really unmatched with anything I've ever seen. I mean, they can have a blue-white scrimmage in the offseason and 27,000 people show up to watch it. I mean, it's just phenomenal how many people love the blue and white here in Kentucky.
Yeah, they played this year. They opened up the season in the Garden this year against Kansas, and Duke
mm-hmm.
played beforehand. It was Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky, and the whole entire crowd was Kentucky. And that's not no. It was a Kentucky home game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they're gonna win the title this year. But listen, in your junior year at Kentucky, you throw over 4,600 yards, 38 touchdowns in that air raid offense.
Mm-hmm.
Were there ever any doubt that you weren't gonna enter the draft? Like it was a foregone conclusion after that year.
You know, there was some doubt. You know, actually, I wanted to stay one more year because I didn't get a lot of playing time as a freshman, so I'd really only played my sophomore and junior season. So I hadn't had a lot of experience, and I wanted to, you know, maybe get one more year in of college before I made the jump to the NFL. But, you know, there were so many things going that, you know, I was talking, you know, to, you know, kind of seeing where I would end up in the draft, and the Browns were telling me, you know, all along that they would take me with the first pick if I decided to leave after my junior year. But, you know, really for me it came down to, you know, who was returning on my team. And, you know, I was losing all 5 of my offensive linemen, my top 3 wide receivers. And, you know, I just didn't want to hurt myself coming back from my senior year and losing the guys that I'd been playing with, you know, for the past 3 years and end up having, a down season and, you know, fall to the 10th or 12th pick in the draft, whatever it may be. So I decided it was, you know, the right time and for me to come out, and the Browns ended up taking me number one.
They did, and that leads me to the next question. The Browns front office, they made a statement that you would win at least 6 playoff games in your career before you even took one snap.
Right.
Knowing that your team was so young, were those expectations just unrealistic?
Yeah, you know, just we were an expansion team. You know, it was you know, I was the first player picked in the new Browns franchise, and you know, there was a lot of pressure. You know, I'm a 20-year-old kid. I just came out, you know, junior in college, came out early, and you know, they're building an NFL franchise around me, and it's you know, and it was something that. You know, it is a lot of pressure, but it's something that I really wanted. I thought I'd prepared for it my whole life to handle that type of situation. But, you know, I think what kind of hurt me was, you know, my rookie year, Ty Detmer was, there with me in Cleveland. He's an NFL veteran kind of guy and been in the league 10, 12 years. And he was going to be the starter, and they were going to kind of bring me along, you know, because we were such a young team. But, you know, it ended up where week 2, I ended up as a starter from then on. And, you know, I think, you know, just kind of getting thrown into the fire you know, not having the success I was used to, I think kind of hurt me mentally a little bit, hurt my confidence going forward. But, at the time I wanted to be in the game, obviously, as a player, as a competitor, you thought you were ready and wanted to be in. But looking back at it now, it probably would have helped me a lot to sit out that 1 year and kind of learn behind Ty a little more.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you guys have like 7 or 8 draft picks and you didn't pick one offensive lineman? I remember reading that somewhere.
Right.
Was that true?
That's true. That's very true. We didn't do that, and we never had never played with a 1,000-yard rusher. I think the leading rusher I ever played with was like 600 or 700 yards for the season. So you know, we were just a young football team. But we ended up making the playoffs my my fourth year, and so I was pretty proud of that. I think just coming as a, starting something from the ground up and being part of it from day one and kind of seeing it come to, get to the playoffs and that type of thing was just was pretty special for me.
All right, now listen now, because that kind of leads me again to my next question. You were sacked the most times in the NFL in 99 and the second most in 2000. And this always bothers me because I'm truly one of your biggest fans. And that's, I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. And the co-host and I, right before you called in, we were talking, he was saying how Matt Schaub so far was the biggest guest. My best friend went to Virginia. They were roommates. And I said, having you, it's going to be impossible to top this. But this bothers me. Tim, I'll be honest. When people say the bust, oh, Tim Couch is a bust, it bothers me. Besides the fact you guys never had an offensive lineman, I just want to give out once we have like 212 listeners right now. We usually get like around over 1,000 on demand after Twitter and Facebook. But your quarterback rating was around 76. I just want to tell the audience, Jim McMahon, Phil Simms, Alex Smith, Joe Theismann, Vinny Testaverde, when I say John Kitna, Phil, they all had the same exact passer rating as you. Does it bother you, the whole bust thing?
You know, I'd be lying if I said it didn't. It's frustrating. I don't like seeing my name on those lists, obviously. But, I understand from a little bit, what they're talking about. Being a number one pick, obviously I'm expected to win Super Bowls. I'm expected to go to Pro Bowl every year, those type of things. But, I think if you look back at what I was able to do with what I had to work with, I think, I put up, pretty good numbers. The biggest problem was I got hurt every year. I made it through one season completely healthy from start to finish, and that was the year we made the playoffs. So, it is frustrating, but, there's nothing you can do. Everyone's going to have their opinion, but I think the people who truly followed me and watched me play and understood the situation that I was in really doesn't feel that way.
LB, you have a question from LB?
Yeah, I got a question. Back to college, Tim. That 98 year, what was the bigger win for you guys, that Alabama game or on the road down in LSU for you?
I would probably say the Alabama game, just because Kentucky hadn't beaten Alabama in 75 years, and we were, that was kind of our coming out party, saying we were kind of a team to deal with in the SEC, and just the way we won that game, I threw a touchdown pass to Craig East and overtime of that game, and the fans just rushed the field and tore the goalposts down, and it was a pretty special night for us, and just to get a chance to beat a team like Alabama, which Kentucky never has even an opportunity to do in football, was pretty special.
Now, you see, Tim, this is what bothers me, the whole bust thing. You led them to the playoffs, and yet you got hurt. What was it, the game before when Holcomb came in? Was it the game before the playoff game?
Yeah, it was the game. We had to beat the Falcons at home to make the playoffs, and I got us, we had won 7 out of our last 10 games, and I was a starter playing really well, and broke my leg in the second quarter of that game, and we ended up going on to win that game, and then Kelly Holcomb came in the playoff game against Pittsburgh and had a really big day, threw for 400 and some yards in the playoff game, and it was just so frustrating to get the team to that point that I've been working for 4 years to get to a playoff game and break my leg in the game, but that's kind of the way my career went. Just untimely injuries was, I think, the biggest factor.
Now, Tim, a couple more questions. Were you shocked that no other team really gave you a fair crack at another starting position after you left the Browns?
I think I had a really good opportunity with Green Bay when I left. When I left Cleveland, I signed with Green Bay, and I thought that was going to be there for a couple years, maybe learn from Brett a little bit, and then take over when he left. But unfortunately, that's where I hurt my shoulder. In training camp, when I was at Green Bay, and had my first shoulder surgery there, and ended up getting cut and that type of stuff. And then I came back from that first surgery and started working out for a bunch of teams. I'd worked out for Chicago, Indianapolis, Tennessee, a bunch of teams that gave me an opportunity, and ended up tearing my rotator cuff again during that process. So after the second surgery, I came back a year later, and I was in training camp with Jacksonville. And it was never the same. I'd lost all the velocity I had on my arm, and just wasn't the same player after the second surgery. But the opportunities were there. Once again, it's just the injury bug got me.
All right, Tim, a couple more questions, I'll let you go. I want to tell the audience, because I actually didn't know this, but I was YouTubing you right before I interviewed you. I know it sounds kind of creepy. That's my bad. It says, I want to tell the audience that Tim Couch is the only quarterback in NFL history, I didn't know this, to throw two game-winning touchdown passes of 50-plus yards with zero time on the clock. And they showed the clips. What's your most memorable NFL game?
You know, that one of those Hail Marys was against the Saints in 99, my rookie year. That was the first win we had that season, and my first win as an NFL quarterback, and it came on a Hail Mary. So that was pretty cool. You know, but I think my biggest memory is just the game we had against Pittsburgh my last year there in Cleveland. We played a Sunday night game at Pittsburgh, and we ended up beating them pretty good, and I threw three touchdowns, and I think I was like 22 out of 25 throwing in that game. So that game really stands out just because it's such a big rivalry between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and we were able to get the best of them that day.
All right, Tim, let me ask you a couple questions, like quick 1, 2, 3 questions, and an anti-Kentucky fan from Indiana is calling in. He has a question for you, but we'll get to him in a second.
Okay.
What's the first thing you splurged on when you got your rookie contract, your first big purchase?
First big purchase. You know what I did? I paid off all the debt my mom and dad had and retired them. They both retired, and they just traveled around and watched me play every game. They came to every game, every preseason game, everything I had. So they were always on the road, and that was pretty cool to be able to do something like that for them, because they've supported me throughout my high school career, college career, and just to be able to give back to them was my first purchase, the first thing that I did.
That's pretty cool. LB, you have a question, LB?
Yeah, real fast, as a football guy, former NFL quarterback, what's your opinion on this whole Saints-Williams thing, the bounties? Does it go on in the league? Have you ever been in a locker room that's been going on?
You know, I think it certainly has gone on for a long time. But, you know, I don't think guys go out and intentionally try to hurt someone. You know, I don't think they're going out saying we're going to blow this guy's knee out, or, you know, maybe it has happened in the past. I was never a part of anything like that, but I know guys, you know, there's always incentive to go out and, you know, get a good clean lick on a guy. You know,
play. I understand that, but yeah, I don't think they're going out to hurt anybody, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's intentionally to go out and, you know, hurt a guy where he has to get carted off or anything like that. I don't think that kind of stuff actually took place.
Right, I agree. I agree
with you. Tim, I'm going to put on, this is Elwood from Indiana, and here's how it started, Tim, real quick. My first show, I was just messing around. I don't say my profession. You know what I do, Tim, but I was just messing around talking about, it was when Kentucky lost that one game of the year. I talk about the game, and this guy calls in, starts telling me how Kentucky's garbage, how Indiana's everything. Elwood, you're on the phone with Tim Couch. You got a question for him?
Yes, I do. Good to talk to you, Tim. Hey,
you too.
I am an avid starting lineup collector. I've been doing it since I was a kid, and I've got your starting lineup. It's right in the collection from your Cleveland Browns. I got it around 2000. I've always wanted to ask somebody, is it as cool as it seems to be one, a starting lineup? I mean, an action figure in the store? I mean, what's that like?
You know, it is pretty cool. You know, I've been asked something like that before, you know, with the video game, like with the Madden or something. Somebody's asked me, you know, what's it like to see yourself on a video game or, you know, an action figure, anything like that. It's kind of surreal, really. It doesn't feel like you're looking at yourself. You know, it's just because you're just so used to that's who you are. You know, you are a football player, and to see yourself, you know, on a figure or a game or anything like that is a little bit surreal. But, you know, I have a bunch of them actually laying around my house, and, you know, just all this memorabilia and stuff. And I have two young kids, so they love seeing that stuff and seeing me on the old Madden games and seeing these action figures and bobbleheads. So, yeah, they get a kick out of it.
Yeah, that was actually – oh, you go. I would owe you. I would, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. No, I was just telling him I've got him right in my collection because I've got all my – so I'm pretty much of a Colts fanatic, so to be a Cleveland Browns and get my collection is a pretty big honor. But I was always curious. I was always hoping you would go to Kentucky and follow Peyton and see what would happen. I'm kind of – and, you know. No, when you came to Indianapolis, did you just work out or – I can't – I remember people talking about you coming here, but what was
– right.
Was it just to work out and kind of feel the team out or –
Well, they, you know, I knew the offense already. Bruce Arians
came.
He was at Indianapolis. He was my offensive coordinator in Cleveland, so I already knew the offense really well. I'd been in it for 4 years, and so they wanted to bring me in as a backup to Peyton. And the workout went really well, and we decided they wanted to get an MRI to look at my shoulder because I had such a bad injury, and just kind of see what was going on in there. And they actually found the tear. The second tear is where I was so I had my second surgery right after that, and so unfortunately that didn't work out. I would have loved to get a chance to have to play with Peyton. It would have been great.
Yeah, I remember the buzz because you know from the Browns, and yeah, I kind of remember it. It's been a while, but yeah, I remember it didn't pan out.
Oh, it's taking over the show. Oh, hey,
I've never talked to one of my. I don't want to say I've never talked to a guy I had a starting lineup of, but it's the first time I ever got to speak with him. You know, not like where I stand in line for 5 years to get Peyton to sign something, and he says, you know, next.
All right, you're making me. Elwood, I'm putting you on hold. Elwood, you sound a little creepy. All right, Tim, a couple more questions. I'll let you go. Right now, who are your favorite players to watch right now?
You know, I love watching Drew Brees play. Tom Brady, you know, just the guys who are playing at such a high level. I thought it was great to see Alex Smith play this year, the way he was able to bounce back. He's a guy who was kind of in a similar situation. They kept, you know, rotating coaches on him. He was in a different offensive system every year. Didn't have a lot of talent around him. People said he was a bust. And then to see him come out and have a big year once he finally got the right system around him and the players around him was pretty cool to see also.
All right, now, Tim, real quick, I actually favorite food?
Favorite food? Probably steak.
Favorite movie?
Johnny Be Good.
Coolest person right now on your phone. If we take Tim Couch's telephone, I scroll through it. What's the coolest name I find in there?
Let's see. I don't know. It depends on, you know, if you're talking athlete-wise or whatever. You know, I have, you know, just a bunch of guys that I played with or played against in the NFL. You know, Peyton's in my phone. Kenny Chesney's in my phone. Some guys like that.
A lot better than mine. All I have is Shab and Canty in your email. Okay, listen. Right now, your biggest regret with football?
Biggest regret, you know, I really don't have any just besides the fact that I, you know, had so many injuries in my NFL career. That's the only thing I really regret.
Okay, now, LB, you have one more question, LB, before we let him go?
Yeah, one more question, Tim. As a first-round draft pick overall, Eli Manning, first-round draft pick. Now, do you consider him top five?
Certainly I do. Yeah, you know, I do, especially the last couple years. I think he's really grown at the position and came a long way. You know, I think, you know, his first couple years, you know, I thought he was a little bit inconsistent. He was too up and down to be considered at the top of the league. But, you know, the last few years, he's really improved as a player and just, you know, reminds me a lot of his brother. He's in total control of the game at the line of scrimmage, getting his team in and out of the right plays. He's making clutch throws at the big parts of the football game. So I think certainly right now he's in my top five.
It was amazing. Yes,
I just want to thank you again, Tim, for calling. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, right, great talking to you guys.
Two more things
as well.
Quick, Tim. I'll let you go.
Sure.
Two more questions. What's the coolest piece of memorabilia you owned? Are you a memorabilia guy, first of all?
A little bit, yeah. You know, actually, I have a couple signed pieces from Joe Montana, a jersey and a helmet that my agent got me. We had the same agent when I was playing, and he got me a few things signed from Joe, who was my childhood hero. So those are probably my favorite.
Okay, well, last two things. One, I have your jersey. I'm going to, when we hang up, I'll email you. I want to send you my jersey. Will you personalize it? I'll sign it in my house.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to.
All right. Now, Tim, the last question, and a lot of people have been texting me and tweeting me about this. Your wife is drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful. Can you just tell the audience how you picked up such a pretty girl? Because, guys, if you saw my audience, believe me, we need all the help we can get. So let me hear, before we go,
yeah.
She was a Playboy playmate, right?
Yeah, she was. She was actually Playmate of the Year in 1999, and she's from the Cleveland area, from Akron. And we actually met at Bernie Kosar's charity golf tournament back
from the U.
In like 2000. So we met then, and we've kind of been dating on and off ever since. And we actually just had our seventh wedding anniversary last month.
Wow. Congratulations, Tim. Listen, I really appreciate you calling in. It was an absolute honor, and I really mean this. I don't think any guests – we have a ton more guests coming up. Like, not today, coming up in the future, and none's going to top this. This was an honor and a privilege to speak to you, my favorite player of all time. And when we hang up, I'll email you. Send me where I can send you jersey. And just thank you again, Tim. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed being on the show with you guys.
Thanks, and have a great day, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
LB.
Yes, sir.
I just had to write down his phone number, so now I have his phone number, so I can be... Elwood, hold on for a second. Let's see what Elwood has to say real quick. Elwood, what's going on, buddy? You know what, Elwood, I have to say something right now. Both of you guys asked tremendous questions. LB with the bounty question, the Eli Manning question, and the truth, Elwood, on my questionnaire, I actually was going to ask him about the starting lineup, if he still has one of himself. Elwood, you there?
I don't think he's there.
I hung up. Don't worry, LB. LB, I wrote down Tim Couch's phone number.
Listen, you know, he's good at you. His wife's gorgeous. Love her.
What?
I said I love his wife. She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous. I'm just curious, how does he pick someone up like that? LB, listen, the whole point of the show today was doing a Tim Couch interview. You want to just tell the audience, because I know everyone's probably... That was a great interview. I know you were texting me. LB, when you told me, you texted me, I have a good... the reason LB's not in the studio, he's down the Jersey Shore. Fucking shock. But when you texted me saying, I have a question, I get nervous with you because I don't know if you're going to ask him some fucking dumbass question.
I was truly nervous.
Nah, you can't ask the guys like that. Nah, I mean, not the first interview. If he was a guy that comes on regularly, then you could hammer him. See, I didn't bring up this. There's another thing I wanted to bring up, but I didn't really think it was, you know, appropriate. So I let that one go.
What was the inappropriate question?
They said he did test positive.
Yes,
we have to get into that.
Yeah, you know what? I actually wasn't going to bring that up, and he actually, it's funny, he just emailed me. Great time on the show. Thank you so much. We'll do it again. Now that I have his phone number, I was going to tell him, you know, the coolest people on my phone right now, if you ask me, the coolest people on my phone, I guess, well, Vidal, you know, how would you use the athletes I know? Daniel Orton, Vidal Hazelton, Chris Canty, and Matt Schaub. Now it's Tim Couch, because you can't call my show private. So, Tim Couch, we'll be getting a phone call next time we go out. Let's hear what Elwood has to say, LB, and I want to hear one Chris Herron story, and then we'll wrap up the show. Hold on. Elwood, you're back on the show. What's going on, my man?
It's not freaking Elwood, so that's why I didn't understand when you hung up on the first time.
You know what, Josh, I'm sorry. You wonder why? You guys have weird effed up phone numbers. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on?
Listen,
yo, what up, cousin?
I only caught the tail end of the interview. I'm really, I'm happy you got to interview your BBN family.
Listen, Big Blue Nation, first of all, Josh, I'll tell the audience, I don't give an F. So I get Tim Couch, Josh, we asked him legitimate questions. First of all, you heard about how I asked him how we got the Playboy Playmate as a wife?
I caught that part.
He's the first pick ever of the draft. Of course he's going to get a Playmate.
Okay, yeah, that matters. Listen, mate. Justin, LB actually asked a legitimate, knowledgeable question. He was asking about the bounties, and Tim was really honest. Tim's like, yeah, it goes on, but like Tim was honest about everything, and he's probably just became one of my best friends I've ever had in my life. Listen real quick. I got to tell you this. First of all, I have his phone number now, so this guy's, it's a wrap with Tim Couch. You know that, right?
Well, let me comment on the bounties real quick.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask you to do that because you know more people in the NFL than fucking Chris Mortensen, so I was actually going to ask you about the bounties. I want to hear what you think about it because Adam Scheffler, these guys, Mike Francesa, they're killing the Saints, saying that Williams should be suspended for life. He should be banned from football. Let me hear your opinion.
Obviously, anybody who plays defense, who's ever played any sport, even peewee basketball, I remember my coach always telling us to hurt Andrew Wisniewski, who was the best basketball player on Staten Island. You know, you're not trying to injure anyone, but you want to hurt everyone. You don't want anyone to play who can hinder you from winning the game. And if they're like, yo, you'll get extra this if you knock down this person or if you hurt this person. If they're saying if you break Peyton Manning's neck, then you're going to get 20K, yeah, that's effed up. But if you're definitely like, I want this guy hurt, hit him hard within the rules of the game, no late hits, nothing dirty. If you do it and you get some kind of reward and your team wins, good for you. Who cares?
That's why I agree 100%. When you're playing defense, you're supposed to be a maniac madman. You're supposed to be hitting everything that moves. And you know what? If it's not, if a play isn't being thrown on the field by the referee who's there to protect the offensive players, then therefore, how are you going to tell me if it was a dirty hit or not? Because I run through a guy.
I guarantee you, every offensive line coach in the NFL is like, cut this guy. Hopefully he gets hurt. You know,
Listen, I agree with exactly what both you guys are saying, and I'm not being that typical host, like, oh, I'm going to go against the grain. But my issue, you can't offer money. Like, I'm going to offer you money to hurt. It said that Jonathan Vilma offered $10,000 for someone to get hurt. That's not cool. That's my opinion.
See, you're not going out there to end someone's career. You're going out there to make a hit, and if it's a devastating hit, there's incentives to make big plays. And if your team's giving you incentive to make a big play, that's what you're going to do. Whether it be someone coming across the middle with Ray Lewis killing somebody or Harrison, you know, these guys are freaks of nature that just blow up everybody. You know what? If the defense is not hitting the offense, what about Hines Ward coming back and cracking back and everybody? That's not a dirty play. It goes both ways. Just not defense.
Any owner in football who's never won a championship, who got torched by Tom Brady or torched by Joe Montana or torched by whoever, wishes that somebody had a bounty back then. It was a bounty on Michael Jordan. You know, snuff your
shoes. I put a bounty out on AJ Burnett. Let's be honest here. I was offering money for someone to hurt that man. Listen, but
everybody was trying to hurt Michael Jordan. If you want to win, you can't stop him.
Listen,
the only you
my issue
you can't stop
giving,
him. You only hope to contain him. You want to contain him by putting him on the sideline.
My only issue is giving money to people hurt. That's just not. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know, maybe because I grew up with the sport, the way you're not going out there to hurt somebody. If someone's saying, Larry, you make a devastating hit, whoever has the best hit on defense getting paid $10,000, you're going to have no concern for your own body, and you're just going to go out there hitting everything that moves. And that's what a defensive player's mentality is supposed to be.
Whether they're giving cash prizes or not, the defense's mentality every play is to hurt the offense. Hurt, not injure. Hurt. You want them off the. You don't want to end their career. You don't want them to miss game. You don't care if they miss every other game except the game that they're playing against you right now.
I agree with both that. Now, Just, we're not going to do an hour-long show today. LB explained why. And you can chime in. Let me see if you can get the answer right. LB chimed in that he's not going to Las Vegas this year. He will be heading to New Orleans. And what days are we going to New Orleans, Lawrence?
Well, me and my crew are going, and Justin Walker, he's with us, going the 25th to 28th.
And Justin, what falls between that, Justin? What will we be celebrating down in the Big Easy?
Snuff's 40th birthday.
Justin, didn't we? I thought we spoke about this. Him not showing up to his last birthday party. Now it's like leap year. He doesn't have a birthday anymore to us.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The way I look at it.
First of all, listen. Everyone who follows me on Twitter, at Mike Saffo, Tim Couch just tweeted, just finished a very fun interview with at Mike Saffo, very, very knowledgeable football fan. Thanks for having me on your show. When this
guy,
man gets
nothing, I asked, not for nothing, you should give him my Twitter because I asked him all the football questions. You asked him about his wife and football jerseys.
Anything to benefit my career. Listen, one, LB, I am, right when I finish your show up in a couple minutes, I'm going to tweet to him, at Big Lab, First of all, Elwood asked some good questions. Of course, it goes back to Peyton Manning with Elwood. I'm telling you now, when Elwood has sex, I'm telling you, he makes a girl wear a Peyton Manning jersey. I'm telling you right now, I will bet money on that. You think I'm playing around?
Hold on.
You guys cut each other off. What did you say, Just?
I've actually had sex with girls wearing athletic jerseys, which is actually pretty hot.
No. Listen. First of all, there's nothing hotter in the world than a girl with a sports jersey and leggings. But I think Elwood makes them say that they're painting. What were you going to say, Larry? We're talking about sex, sorry. I know,
There was five football questions asked. I asked all five of them. Therefore,
Well, first of all, that's not true. I let him know. I asked about Big Blue Nation, about Kentucky basketball, about his games, how the Browns gave him unrealistic expectations. I gave all those. You asked legitimate questions. I actually didn't want to bring up the bounty, and I wouldn't bring up the testing positive. I wouldn't bring that up.
Who's the last successful Browns quarterback? Vernon Kosar?
No, Tim Couch. Brought him to the playoffs.
Bernie Kosar from. You heard me when he said Bernie Kosar. You hear what I said?
Yeah, of course. As he's talking about his Playboy playmate wife, man, Tim Couch, the man's awesome. Hey, listen, let's end the show real quick. We're going to do it. We go to see Chris Herron down the shore. You watched 30 for 30 Unguarded, right, Just?
Chris Herron? Whoops. Sorry.
See, that's just, first of all, that's fucked up because I actually wanted to send him a copy of the show because he said he was going to do the show. Let me see how I can edit that part out of it. No, he's not embarrassed of his failures. He's actually a hero and now he's an inspiration.
Well, I know the story. It's a great story. I always take a stand.
Real quick.
He's a great dude.
Of course you do. LB, just tell Justin your favorite story from down there. I'll tell him mine. Just, if anyone has a chance to do it, go to just Google, I think it's ahoopdream.com. And follow him. He's on Twitter at Chris_Herron. I think that's it. Whatever. Just Google Chris Herron. His speaking, it made the documentary look like a PG-13 movie. He was so real and honest. There was a couple pieces there too. LB was creeping on. They're like 13. But LB, tell them about what's your favorite story that he told?
You know what? I can't go into it because they're all great. The best part of the night was, at the end, he's signing his autographed books.
This is cool. I'm gonna tell. Okay.
He's all happy and smiles, and now not purposely I didn't wear it. I have a New York Giant Super Bowl champion sweatshirt on and a Yankee fitted.
I will,
now, Chris Herring is from Boston, famously.
Yeah, he's from Boston. He plays for the Celtics. I'm sure he's a Red Sox fan and the other jerk, whatever the other team he likes up there. But now I woke up to get – there's a picture of me and him. It looked like two mugshots, like we didn't want to take the picture with each other. It was the funny – after looking at the picture, you see Snuff's picture, they're all smiles. Then you see my picture. Everybody commented. It was like, oh, you two guys look happy to take a picture together. That was the best part.
I'm just excited you got LB to read a fucking book.
I read the U book. Yeah, I got LB a U book Christmas a couple years ago. Listen, Justin,
There were so many pictures in that book full of perps.
It was the U coloring book. Okay, but listen, we see Chris Herring. I'm gonna tell everybody really quick. I'll make the story super quick because hopefully everyone goes to see him because it can really change your life. It makes you not want to even party. But he told the story, Just. He was in LB. What country? He was in Turkey. Istanbul. He was in Istanbul. And smuggling drugs there is life in prison. That's it. He was dope sick. He needed money. He needed drugs. He calls his dealer. He gets $5,000 worth of pills sent to him. And his dealer, LB, he was saying it. Do not send the money. Do not send the pills. He sends the pills. He goes to the post office. He sees two guards standing at the door. The two guards are at the door. And they're basically telling him, like, don't take the stuff. You're going to go to jail for life. And LB, tell him what happens, because he goes to get the package.
He said he walks in, you know what, he said FedEx called him, and he's like, this isn't right. So he gives his kids and his wife a kiss, goes down there, and he said he was sitting outside for a half hour, just watching, seeing what was up. He said he walked in, he said he could see his package, it was open already. So he's like, oh, I'm screwed. So he goes to turn around, and the security stops him. He's like, no, you need to go pick up your package. So he's like, all right, this is it, I'm going to jail for life. He said he goes and gets it.
And wait, you got to say that. He was still willing to do the pills.
Right.
He was willing to take one more hit to go to jail for life.
It was crazy.
I'm listening.
So then they let him take his package. He leaves. He sits in his car, opens it. He says he can see the little holes where all the pills would be. But there's a note inside. So he reads the note. He's like, dear Chris, you know, my father used to take me around Massachusetts watching you play in high school and college. You know, I'm a big fan. I work for FedEx now, and your package came across my desk for suspicion of smuggling drugs. He's like, I opened it. I saw what was in it. I removed it for your kids and your wife. You know, this is your second chance. You know, I hope you do, you know, do what you need to do with it, blah, blah, blah. You know, good luck with everything. And he probably went to jail.
He
put the note in.
The guy's probably a dealer right now. The guy's probably all high right now in the corner. All right, so listen, LB, I'm going to tell Just. Just, you want to hear this? I know I told it in the beginning of the show. Do you want to hear the Dallas Mavericks story, Just? And then
yeah.
We'll wrap it up after this. My mom just got here, so we'll hang out with her. So what happened is he... Well, Just, you can talk to her in a second if you want to say hi to her. That'll get me ratings. Thanks, Just. Okay, so listen. What happened was he plays for the Nuggets, plays for the Celtics, has a good year. He's in the summer league, and the Dallas Mavericks offer him... LB, was it 3 years, $8 million?
$8 million to finish two more summer league games, and his contract was done.
And that was it, Just. Two more summer league games. He's supposed to get on the bus at around. My mom's in the studio messing my shit up. Okay, so he gets. I don't know what song that would be. So, Just, he has two more summer leagues to do, and he has to leave at 2:00. The bus leaves at 2:00, and. His dealer can't get to him until 3 o'clock, or whatever, 1 to 2. And he tells
him, the dealer's brother called and said he's not going to be able to meet you. He just got arrested. So in his sick mind, he was so dope sick, he said, that he shook the coach's hand. I forget what the coach was. He said, thank you for the opportunity. I just need to pass. He said he drove back to Fall River and, picked up from whoever. And 2 hours later, called back the Mavericks and was like, no, you have a serious drug problem, you're a junkie, blah, 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 and he throws, they hung the phone up on me.
Yeah, so Just, he had a chance for $8 million, and he said no, just because he needed to get pills, I'm telling you, it was the most inspirational thing. Listen, we're going to get into that next time on the show, and people do ask, well, probably just like two or three people, why we do sporadic shows here and there. There's a lull in the season right now because Super Bowl's over, I didn't have a voice for 2 weeks, now we're just slowly waiting to March Madness. What happened to Duke, Just, we'll talk about that next time. We're going to get into the whole March Madness thing, 2-3 shows a week with March Madness. Kentucky's going to win a championship this year. We'll bet money on that. I'll bet my life on that. I'll bet Justin whenever he wants on that. But let's say parting words, LB. You got to say goodbye to the audience.
It was a great show. Tim Couch was a great guy. I just want to let everybody know Justin Walker is the worst draw-something game person in the world. He's terrible at Pictionary, and he's going to blame his gigantic fingers, but that's not the problem. Just, he has no talent in drawing.
All right.
Wait till I get one of those little magic wands. I'll be the MVP of draw something.
A stylus. Just my mom uses a stylus. I'll tell her to download it. Listen, LB, I really want to thank you for doing the show. Thank you for not having a job and helping me out. Thank you for asking those questions. They were actually legitimate, really good questions.
Yes,
Justin,
make sure you
speak
to Tim Couch to get really well.
I do.
Wait, by the way, I wish
I could listen to the whole interview. I would have some good questions. Go.
Well,
Florida.
I have a phone. We'll call right back.
Hold on. And in parting, I want to sing everybody a little song. Stalking your mom. Stalk, stalk, stalk. Stalking your mom. Stalking your mom.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey, listen, what somebody
great song.
All right, both of you. Listen, for Tim Couch retweeting me. So listen to this. I write that I'm interviewing Tim Couch, and some asshole, J-S-E-U-B-A-N-K-S, are you on the golf course? Because I'm sure Tim Couch is. Okay, so now I'll block him from my Twitter. All right, listen, I want to thank Tim Couch for doing the show. I really wish I can drop these two guests and get Tim Couch to co-host me every day, but that's not happening. Thanks again. I'll put up on Twitter and Facebook after Easter when I'm allowed to be back on Facebook. And these two assholes, I tell...
Can we get
what?
Mrs. Couch to do the show next time?
Who?
Mrs. Couch.
We are going to get Mrs. Couch next time to do the show. From now on, we hang out on golf courses because that's where you can get pretty girls, apparently. But listen, thank you, Tim Couch. Thank you, LB. Of course, Elwood. Thank you, Justin. Everyone have a good
night.
Thank you,
Elwood. Thank you. Talking to your mom.
How do we end the show? How are we going to send this to the University of Kentucky? Damn it. All right, everyone. Thank you for doing the show. Again, have a good night. Everyone be careful.
Later.